So we come to the last of our series in the Highway of Holiness, and our theme this evening is the agent of holiness. I wonder if you've ever been thrown in at the deep end. I don't know, children, if that's how they teach you to swim these days, just throw you in the deep end. Well, it may have happened literally, or it may have happened metaphorically. And what happens when you're thrown in at the deep end? Well, you find yourself floundering. And I think we were kind of thrown in at the deep end last week as we looked together at Psalm 119 and saw the heights to which David's devotion rose. And we hopefully caught something of the spirit of David, but maybe we were left thinking, as I felt, that I'm some way from where he was. Well, the answer is nothing. Nothing at all. If a man abides in me, Jesus said, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's really what we want to be thinking about this evening, to acknowledge that when it comes to walking with God and living a holy life, this is not something we can do on our own. Yes, we are justified by faith. Yes, we are united with Christ. But we need the power and the help of God. The picture that Christ is using here is the picture of the branch and the vine. If so long as the branch is joined in a living union with the vine, it will live. Even in winter, it will live, waiting for the spring to come and the sap to rise and the vine to be filled with luscious grapes once again. The question is, what is the sap? What is the life force? What will nourish and energize us, the Christian and the Christian church, and produce in us and through us the fruit of holiness? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of holiness. He is the means by which holiness is produced in our lives. His is the power. He is the enabler by which alone we can live consecrated lives of closeness to God, lives which obey God, which live to God and for God, which imitate God, which keep his law, which take his side against sin, which do righteousness, which are full of good works, which follow the teaching and example of Jesus, which worship God. We can't do these things by ourselves. Holiness is the fruit of the Spirit. He is the driver of a single-minded passion to please and to love God by loyalty, devotion, and praise. He is the leader, the champion of our resistance movement against sin. And so it is, as in Romans 8 and verse 13, it is by the Spirit and only by the Spirit that we can put to death the deeds of the body and so live a holy life. That is the whole message of the passage that we read together. See, the law of the Spirit, this new principle of power in our lives, the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life, that's what has set you free from the old fading system, the law of sin and death. Because God has done what the law, weakened by sinful flesh, couldn't do. Because in Christ, he condemned sin in the flesh. So that, by the Spirit, the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, because we no longer walk according to the flesh, trying to do it ourselves, but we walk according to the Spirit. We set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And so it is that we have the Spirit of Christ working within us. So the first question we want to ask, and we've started asking already, I think, is what the Holy Spirit does for us in this matter. What the Holy Spirit does for us. Now this is, I think, a subject which is a great way of finishing this series, I hope anyway, and it is something that is so important, so relevant to us. If we can get this, if we can get hold of this, then our lives and our churches, our church will undergo a process of transformation. See, everything the Holy Spirit does, all of his work in relation to the church and the people of God sanctifies them. It has that effect. That is always the effect of the work of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do is blast through seven things which the Holy Spirit does for us and see how through him, through his ministry, it has a sanctifying influence upon our lives. So here goes. The first one is that the Holy Spirit leads and directs. We read in Romans 8 verse 14, "For all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God." And then in Galatians 5, "If you are led by the Spirit," this is what you will do. You'll strive against the flesh. If you're led by the Spirit, not trying to just keep the deeds of the law. Now, the Holy Spirit does lead us, helping us to know the will of God for our lives. But the leading that is referred to here is different. As Packus puts it, it is an impelling of our wills to resist our own sinful impulses and pursue the practice of righteousness. That is what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. He's impelling us to do this, to resist our own sinful impulses and to pursue the practice of righteousness. How much we need that, don't we? How much we need that impelling to spur us on, to propel us forward, to be the powerhouse, the driving force of our resistance movement against sin and our pursuit of holiness. This is primary, this is basic. If we are so led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. If not, then we're not the sons of God. We don't belong to Christ. We're still in the flesh, and we cannot please God. But if we are led by the Spirit, then we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, and it is then evident that we are born of the Spirit, that we are sons of God. Oh, to know more of this, being driven, impelled on, led by the Holy Spirit into the ways of holiness and righteousness. Which leads us to the second thing. The Holy Spirit leads, but he also assures. What do you say when you see a child who is generally obedient, willing, enthusiastic, helpful? I know you are children, this is all true of you, and happy. What do you say when you see a child like that? Well, you see, you might say that, that there is a secure child who knows the love, the care, and the protection of a loving parent and feels safe and secure and at rest in the warm hold of that love. And so it is with a child of God. To know that they are safe, secure, loved and embraced, held firm in the arms of their Father in heaven, and so they become willing, obedient, enthusiastic, happy and helpful. the security, the assurance of this loving relationship is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Because as Paul goes on in Romans 8:15, you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I was just struck when we read that earlier by the contrast that Paul gives here. This couldn't be greater, could it? He said, if you are led by the Spirit of God and are the sons of God, you have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear, but the spirit of adoption. What a contrast there is there, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Adoption as sons. The Holy Spirit brings this blessing to us. It's part of his work, part of his ministry, to bear witness within our spirits that we are children of God. And this inner witness of the Holy Spirit is exquisitely wonderful. And it is part of the normal work that the Holy Spirit does in all Christians. Oh, to know more of this. Once you've tasted that, you long to know more of it, to have a present experience of that assuring at different levels. It can be something that's a quiet assurance. It can be something at times which is quite overwhelming. But it is the same Spirit, the same thing. You're confident, you're assured. I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit leads us, he assures us, and he teaches us. It's a wonderful thing. It's part of his ministry. The Holy Spirit reveals and imparts a true knowledge of God to the believer, such that they are taught by God himself. They don't just know about God, but they know God himself. Charles Wesley put this very wonderfully in his hymn to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Ghost, for moved by thee the prophets wrote and spoke. Unlock the truth, thyself the key, unseal the sacred book. God through himself we then shall know, if thou within us shine, and sound with all the saints below the depths of love divine. He is our divine teacher. We know God through God. God through himself we then shall know. So when our Lord prayed, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth, he was praying for the Holy Spirit to do this work, to teach us the truth, the word of truth, and so to be sanctified, made holy. Oh, to know more of this. The Spirit breathing upon the word and bringing the truth to light. Precepts and promises affording a sanctifying light through the knowledge of God, the knowledge which we receive, the knowledge of the truth. The Holy Spirit leads us, he assures us, he teaches us. The Holy Spirit intercedes. Again, Romans 8, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Christ is our advocate above. He intercedes for us in heaven. The Holy Spirit is our advocate within. He intercedes in our hearts, speaks in our hearts, within our hearts, inspiring and directing our prayers as we pray in the Spirit. And not only helping us to know what to pray, but moving us with deep groans and breathings in our souls after God. Oh, to know more of this. Oh, to know more of the motions of the Spirit in our prayers. He teaches, he leads, he teaches, he assures, he intercedes. The Spirit of God imparts gifts. He gives all kinds of spiritual gifts and giftings. These are generously showered on the church, on the people of God, by the Holy Spirit. Now, these gifts that we receive, we all receive, are not so much for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the church. They are to be exercised in the fellowship of the church for the benefit of others, for the benefit of one another. And why is that? What is the purpose of that? Well, it's so that the whole body might be built up and established in godliness, that a culture of holiness might be developed in the church, holy conversations, holy sharing, holy giving. To each, we read in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each one of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Oh, to know more of the manifestation of the Spirit in his gifts at work in our church. The Holy Spirit leads, he teaches, he assures, he intercedes, he imparts gifts. The Holy Spirit indwells. This is surely the most astonishing thing that the Holy Spirit does for us, to make his dwelling in our hearts, in our bodies, our sinful hearts, our vile bodies, so that we, individually and collectively, become the very temple of God. Really? Is that really so? How can it be? If it wasn't in the Bible, you wouldn't believe it. It is, of course, because of the all-sufficient, all-prevailing sacrifice and blood of Christ, by which we are accepted in the Beloved, and which even through which even the most Holy Spirit of God could come and dwell within us. Don't you know, said Paul to the Corinthians, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you? And Paul also says in Romans 5 and verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so as it is that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the love of God is communicated to us by the Spirit. How can we not then be holy? As the hymn puts it, come down, O love divine. Seek thou this soul of mine and visit it with thine own ardour glowing. O comforter, draw near, within my heart appear and kindle it. Set fire to it, thy holy flame bestow. You know what kindling is, don't you? My son went off to get some kindling yesterday afternoon. Those little sticks that you put on the fire. And then you get a proper fire going. And that's what we need, that a little fire would be lit in our hearts, and it would build up to a great fire. As the hymn goes on to say, there let it freely burn. What's the result of that? There let it freely burn, till earthly passions turn to dust and ashes in its heat consuming. That's the effect of the indwelling Spirit of God, bringing the love of Christ into our hearts, to burn up the dross, to dust and ashes. As we'll see, is not a one-off experience we're talking about here. It's that progressive, ongoing, regular, repeated work of the Holy Spirit as he indwells and lives in our lives from day to day. Holy Spirit leads. I should have said earlier that the first point is much longer than the other three points. We're almost through the first one. The Holy Spirit leads. He teaches, he assures, He intercedes. He imparts gifts. He indwells us. And the Holy Spirit finally convicts. The all-seeing, ever-present Spirit of God searches our hearts. He sees our secret selves and our secret sins, and he finds us out. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of burning. His eyes see and discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. His searching gaze is withering. We wilt and we shrink before it. Most importantly, we long to be rid of sin when the Holy Spirit convicts us. We would pray with Wesley, "Give me, Lord, the tender heart that trembles at the approach of sin, a godly fear of sin impart, implant and root it deep within. Then I shall fear thy gracious power and never dare to offend thee more." And yet, if the look, the searching look of the Holy Spirit, is a sharp and withering experience, it is also a sweet experience that brings solace, comfort and healing to our souls. Because what does he do? As he convicts us, so what does he always do? He turns us to see our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He turns our eyes away from ourselves, and he turns us to see and to look at our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, so that we might see in his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, we might see that our sins are dealt with. We see the stream of grace that his flowing wounds constantly supply. Dare we ask for more of this? More of the convicting of the Holy Spirit. See what he does for us. All of these wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit have this purpose. Remember, the whole purpose of us being saved is that we should live holy and blameless lives in the sight of God. So the whole purpose of all the work of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us and to make us holy. So we see what he does for us. We realize immediately that we can only ever hope to live holy lives by the grace and by the ministry and the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it otherwise. And yet we must surely see that with this sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can. We can do it. There is a life in the Spirit. There is a way to overcome. There's a way to go forward in the highway of holiness. But how does it happen? Well, that brings us on to our second point. We're quite quickly going to go through these other three points. Well, first of all, we need to see what the Holy Spirit uses. We're coming now to kind of the practical side of holiness. Maybe there's another series in this at some time. So how does the Holy Spirit do what he does? What does he use to lead us, to assure us, to teach and convict us? How do we get to experience his indwelling and his assuring and his intercession? How are we to use the spiritual gifts which he has imparted? Well, what he does is he does on a regular, repeated basis. The means that he uses on an ongoing basis. So, question now for the young fathers amongst us, and maybe some young mothers as well. How do you bring up a child? What means do you use? Well, we could ask you afterwards. You wash the child, you bathe it, you feed it, you clothe it, you exercise loving discipline, you read to the child, you listen to the child reading to you, You sing to the child, and very much more as well. And you do these things repeatedly and regularly, and hopefully by these means the child will grow up into a healthy young person of good character, equipped with knowledge and wisdom. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. The wonderful things that he ministers to us to help us are channeled to us through the regular and repeated use of means. These means are the kind of links and the channels by which he leads us and assures us and teaches us and all his other ministries. These are things that we can engage in on a regular and repeated basis, every day, day by day. And it's important that we should see this. The Holy Spirit is not an experience. It's not a ride in a fairground. We engage with him in a relationship in which we can grieve him, in which we can outrage him, in which we can please him, in which we can be closer to him or at a distance from him, be filled with him or embraced by him. This relationship is worked out, as all relationships are, in the arrangements that we have in place on a regular basis. That's how relationships work in our homes and in other relationships. We have a framework. We have an apparatus of our relationship. And so the Holy Spirit uses things to make his blessings our blessings. That's how he works. He works through means. What he does leads to what we do. At a practical level, it is for us on our side to simply and regularly and repeatedly use the means that are the channels of the Holy Spirit's grace. We build them into our lives. There's a proverb that says, sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. So it is, as we sow these actions, they become habits. As we sow these habits, they become part of our character. As the wise Christian habitually uses all the means of grace, they develop a godly character, which is changed by degrees, more and more, into the likeness of Christ. We enter into a partnership with our heavenly guide and counselor. We use the things that he uses. He does all that he does for us, as we take committed, disciplined action to engage with him in the means that he uses. And that's how it works. In this matter, we're not passive, but we're active as we regularly ingest, take in biblical truth, as we regularly engage in prayer, as we regularly and repeatedly worship God, as we regularly participate in fellowship with one another, in serving and in giving. And as tonight we reverently take the Lord's Supper. Along with these kind of outward practices, we also practice thinking and meditating and studying. We listen, we question, we examine ourselves, we open ourselves to others. As we do these things, the Spirit ministers to us in them, and his power is communicated to us. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't show his power to us by constantly interrupting our use of these means with visions or impressions or prophecies, but rather by meeting with us in the constant and faithful use of his chosen channels of his magnificent grace. What he does, what he uses, we do. What is it like then? As we develop these disciplined habits, as these habits become part of our character, as we regularly and repeatedly, day by day, use all the wonderful means that the Holy Spirit uses to communicate his magnificent blessings into our lives. What is the result of that? Well, it is joy. Life in the Spirit is a life of joy and of peace. There is a joy that is constant. There is a joy that at times can be inexpressible. Show me a miserable Christian, and I will show you a Christian who is not pursuing holiness. There is a freedom and a hope. Show me a joyful Christian, and I'll show you a holy Christian. To finish off the quote. I'm not sure whether it is a quote, but it's worth repeating. Show me a miserable Christian, and I will show you a person who is not walking in the Spirit, not walking the highway of holiness. Show me a joyful Christian, and I will show you a holy Christian. There is conflict. It can be messy. There is repentance. There is a constant struggle against sin. There is self-denial. But there is glory. And there is joy. Is it true? You know this, don't you? You know that when you've been walking with the Lord, when you've been really on track, as it were, and you've been pursuing the ways of the Lord, seeking the ways of righteousness, you just become happy, don't you? You become joyful. It's true. There is a fellowship with God, and there is a joy and a peace. There is freedom, and there is hope, and there is eternity in view. So it's great to have that joy, to be walking in the joy of the Lord. But there's something else that is greater still, and it's something that the Holy Spirit is so ready to impart to us. It's something only people on the highway of holiness can know. And that is communion with our bridegroom, the lover of our souls, the Holy One, who is the exact image of God, who is the outshining of the glory of God, the one who is the Son of the Highest, the one to whom every knee shall bow, the Alpha and the Omega, the one they called Jesus, who is the Christ, the Lord of all, the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is altogether lovely, to be in communion with him. That will only happen on the highway of holiness, but it will happen. We can know what it is to be closer to Jesus, to see more of his beauty, to see more of his glory in his face, because this happens as we see in a glass the glory of the Lord. And seeing him, we are changed. We are being changed. We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another, little by little, bit by bit. We're being changed. We're being transformed. As we look to him, we're being changed into be like him. And one day we will be, because we'll see him as he is. We didn't finish the text this morning. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And that's what we are. That's what the Holy Spirit assures us that we are. But we shall be. One day we will see him, and we will be like him. That's not quite quoted properly, but you get the drift of it. We'll see him, and we will be like him then. Absolutely like him. When we see him as he is, we shall be like him, changed into his glorious image. Oh, Lord, how wonderful are these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, in one sense we've come to the end of this journey, but in another sense, Lord, we're at the beginning. Lord, often we just feel like we're only just starting. But Lord, we pray that we might, Lord, have great hope and great expectations as we individually and together as a church commit, Lord, we consecrate ourselves to live holy lives. And we seek, Lord, to do this by living in the Spirit. Lord, engaging in all the means that the Holy Spirit has provided for us, that God has provided, so that we can know his work, his ministry in our lives. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the immense provision that you have made for us. All things that pertain to life and godliness are ours. All things are ours. And we are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And so we worship you, and we thank you. Lord, take us up, we pray. Take us on, lead us on, impel us forward. We pray for your praise and glory. Amen.